Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my last and final week of teaching on financial stewardship. I've been talking about this for at least 6 weeks. I forget exactly, but we've covered a lot of material. Let me just first of all say that today's Memorial Day and our phone center is closed because of that. We're giving our employees a day off. But you can go directly to our website and you can still order these products. And remember that this is going to be my last week to offer the products. And so I encourage you to go to the website. If any of you watching our program have never been there before, we've got over 2,000 of my television programs available that you can watch. We've got, I forget the exact number, but thousands of my radio programs. We've got hundreds of my teachings available for free MP3 downloads. We have videos on there, testimonies, my Bible commentary. It is a wealth of information, and it is, in my estimation, I think one of the best websites out there. Plus, just about everything on it is free. So our website address is on your screen. I encourage you to go check it out. And remember that our phone center is closed today because of Memorial Day. And you won't be able to call in, but you will be able to go on the website and get these materials. This is my last week of teaching on financial stewardship, so I encourage you to please get that. Now, all of this last week, I was talking about giving and how that if you are going to prosper in God's system, there is a law that you have to give. Sow in order to reap. And you are not going to prosper financially. You might have a miracle happen where you get an individual need met, but you aren't going to prosper as a whole if you do not become a fanatical giver. I mean, what I mean by that is that you do it first and foremost. You don't do it if it's convenient. If a crisis hits, you don't let your giving go. But giving is just the very first thing that you do. The Bible says it should be the first fruits. That means the very first thing that you give. I saw a Barna survey, and when this supposed recession hit the United States and the world, Barna did a survey about how people were responding. And I forget the exact figure, but it was somewhere around 50 or more percent of all Christians, the first thing they did to cope with a recession is to decrease their giving. I tell you, if that was you, then you are not going to really prosper in God's kingdom. That's not how it works. You're going to have to get to where giving is your lifeline to God. It's how you trust God, how you prove that you're trusting God in this area, and you don't ever quit trusting God. The moment you quit giving, for whatever reason is, you can explain it away any way you want to, but the bottom line is you have quit trusting God. And I know that there's people who are offended and saying, you're condemning me. I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to help you and just say that it's this important. You have to put that kind of a priority on it. You know, here's a verse in Philippians 4:19, and it says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. People often take that verse and just apply it to every single person and say that this is God's will to supply all of your need. Well, there are scriptures that you can stand on that God is a good God and God is going to provide. If He provides for the birds, if He provides for the lilies of the field, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And yes, God wants to meet the needs of every person. But in context, this is speaking to people who had become partners with the Apostle Paul. You know, I hadn't got time to teach the whole book of Philippians, but let me just take a couple of verses to verify and establish this point. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know, let me just say, Paul traveled and ministered different places. I minister in a similar way. I don't have just a church. I travel and minister all over the world. And I can tell you that I thank God for some people in some places I've been. In other places I've been, I thank God that I don't have to go back there. Amen. I've not always been well received. Paul wasn't always well received. Paul didn't say this about every single person. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. So that right there says that this was a special group of people. In verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In verse 5, that word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, and it literally means partnership. Paul is talking about that these Philippians were partners with him. And again, I could say this through a lot of scriptures, but let me just turn over to Philippians chapter 4, the chapter we were just in, and look at a couple of the verses here. He said in verse 14, he says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. He was talking about that he was in prison, and when they heard that he was in prison, they sent him money, they sent him clothes, they sent him things. And he says, I can do all things through Christ. I have learned how to be abased. I've learned how to be abound. I've learned how to be content in all situations. But you have well done that you communicated, that you gave these gifts. He's talking to them about giving. And then in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now, you could turn over to the book of Acts and read the particulars of how this happened, but Paul is saying that the Philippian believers are the only believers that sent money to help him preach the gospel to other people after he left that place. Now, there's other places that when he went there, they would give and help him and support him while he was there. But the Philippians, he said, are the only group of people who ever sent money to help him preach the gospel to somebody else. You know, I think that that's tragic. I really do. Paul put his life on the line. He said he fought with beasts at Ephesus. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was imprisoned. He was an outcast. Paul suffered and sacrificed a lot to get the gospel out to these people. And only one group of people out of the dozens, possibly hundreds of places that he went, only one group of people ever helped him share the gospel with somebody else. Other people, it's like, you know, if you go to eat somewhere, you pay for your meal. But only one group of people help pay for another person. And I think that that's tragic. Here's a man who is putting his life on the line, and he had very few people. But the Philippians were partners. That's what he said in chapter 1, verse 5, for your partnership in the gospel. And here he is talking about Philippians. You are the only ones that did this. In Thessalonica, they sent twice and helped him financially, because when he came to Thessalonica, he was rejected in Thessalonica. He was actually driven out of the town. The word wasn't received, and so therefore there wasn't a lot of financial benefit that came to him. So how were Paul's needs met? Well, the Philippians sent money and helped him when he was ministering in Thessalonica. Well, that's powerful. You know, there's a lot of people that when they write in to us, they might give some, you know, to pay for, even though we say that our materials are available for a donation, and we'll say, here's what it's worth, here's a suggested donation. There's people that will send in enough to cover theirs, but it's not often. The majority of people just think about what they're getting, and even if they pay for theirs, that's good, but then there's some that will go and say, and here, bless somebody else. You know, there's some people that when you go through Starbucks, you'll pay for your meal, but then sometimes people will say, and pay for the person behind me. That's rare. But this is a godly attitude, and that's what Paul called partners. And then he said, after they had given, and they would have even given more if they would have had opportunity. But Paul got shipwrecked. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email the way that we did. They didn't know about him. The word had to filter back to them, and it took weeks or months. And when they finally found out where he was, they supported him and helped him. And they would have helped him more, but they just didn't have the ability to know where he was, how to get this money to him. And it was to these people, partners with that attitude, that Paul said, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's really not accurate to take that verse and apply it to every Joe Blow and Jane Doe believer in the body of Christ. You can take other scriptures about how God wants to meet your needs. But this is saying that for those who gave above what it took for them to receive the gospel, but they even went a step farther and they were getting the gospel out to other people, that God would supply all of their need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What this is saying is that there is a special anointing on a person who gives to help other people receive the gospel. It's not the same anointing. God will prosper every single member in the body of Christ. But when you start specifically giving to help promote the gospel and get the gospel out to other people, there is a special anointing, a special empowerment of the Holy Spirit to prosper you so that you can give and help get the gospel out. That's a powerful truth, and a lot of people haven't seen that. But you know what? If you want to really prosper, and if you're doing it for the right reasons, not just for selfish reasons, but if you are wanting to prosper so that you can be a real giver and help get the kingdom out, then one of the ways to do it is to hook yourself up with some ministry that is really promoting the gospel, that is seeing tremendous results, and become a partner with them. And then, like Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the way that I pray for my partners is that I know that we need a tremendous amount of money. It takes us about $2 million a month just to pay our normal bills at this time. And it's growing. And then we are in the process of building a brand new campus for the Caris Bible College. It's going to be millions of dollars. And it takes a lot of money. I don't have this money. I couldn't provide 1 week's worth of our income. I don't have this money. It takes partners. And the way that God supplies my needs is that He sends that money to partners, and then partners help me to be able to do what God's called me to do. So I know that for me to prosper, my partners have to prosper. And this is the way that I pray. I pray that God blesses back and prospers these partners and causes them to abound, because my prosperity and my ability to do what God calls me to do is dependent upon other people joining with me and becoming partners. So if you really want to prosper, you know the way to do it. Find a ministry that's doing something, join up with them, and that money has to come to your house first. And the good thing about God is that if He wants you to give $1,000, He'll never just give you $1,000 exactly so that when you give, you have nothing to show for it. If He wants you to give $1,000, He'll give you $2,000. And you give the $1,000, and then you're $1,000 better off because of it. That's the way that God is. It says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, that when He gives you seed to sow, He also gives you bread to eat. He knows that sowers are also eaters. You've got to eat to be able to survive. So even though He wants to get money through you and He wants to bless people, He will never just give you enough that you have exactly what you need to give and then you starve because you gave it all away. No, He'll always give you seed to sow and bread to eat. You will be better off because of it. And so again, I'm saying that there is a special blessing here on people who enter into partnership. And you start saying, I am aligned with this ministry, a church, a ministry, it could be a missions program, it could be something that's feeding the poor, all kinds of different ways to be able to give. But you know, when you start making yourself one of the supports, and God, I want to help this person accomplish that vision, boy, then that means that that anointing and all of the money that God needs to get to that ministry or to that church to accomplish their vision, it has to come through you first. You're part of it. And I tell you, this is one of the ways that you prosper, is by becoming a partner with a ministry. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 18. Let me begin to show this to you from another passage of Scripture. This passage is often misapplied. It says in Proverbs chapter 18, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And you know, often I actually had done this myself in the past. I often interpreted this, that this is talking about an anointing. Like with me, God gave me a gift to be a teacher and to explain the Word of God. And that this gift of teaching would open up doors for me and allow me to reach out and reach great men, large numbers of people, etc. But as I've studied this, I actually came to realize that when it says a man's gift maketh room for him, that word gift there is actually talking about a bribe. This exact same word is used in chapter 19, Proverbs 19, and in verse 6 it says, many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. And if you read this in some of the other translations, it'll talk about a bribe. The same thing is used two or three different times here in just a few chapters. In chapter 21, verse 14, it says, a gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. And so anyway, there's just a number of places. I won't go through all of them. But if you study this out, look in Proverbs 18:16, when it says a man's gift, it's talking about a monetary gift, and it's like a bribe. Now, a bribe is the negative side of this. And I am not suggesting, and the Word of God is not saying that you should bribe people. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying that all of us understand the power of a bribe for negative. You know, you could bribe a politician. You could bribe somebody to go do something. And we understand that many people's hearts have been turned by a gift like that, a bribe. But that's the negative side of it. There is also a positive side to a gift. And that is that a gift, if you give a gift just to show love and affection or honor and respect, did you know that when you give honor, you receive honor? When you show respect, you are shown respect. When you give something to bless a person, they will turn around and bless you back. You may not have thought of this, but if you've gone out to eat with somebody before, and if you say, here, let me get this, well, you'll probably get an argument. No, I'll get it. And finally, if you get it, then they say, well, next time it's my turn. And you know what that is? It's this principle. It's a godly principle that when you give a gift, it just touches the other person and they will give back to you. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And so this scripture is talking about that a gift makes room for you and brings you before great men. Let's exclude the negative side of that, talking about a bride, and talk about the positive side. That when you give to a ministry, when you give to bless a person, when you give to show them the love of God or something like that, you know what? That releases supernatural power flowing in you, and it will make room for you, and it'll bring you before great men. You know, I've studied a lot in the Bible, and I've read a lot of commentaries, and in the Eastern culture that the Bible was written from, people just nearly always came with a gift. For instance, over in 1 Samuel, I think it's around verse chapter 8, chapter 9, when Saul had lost his asses, his donkeys that his father sent him out to search for. And finally, out of desperation, they said, well, here's Samuel, the man of God in this city. Let's go to him and inquire of him if he could tell us what to do with these donkeys. And Saul told his servant, he says, I don't have a gift to approach the man of God. And I can't come to him if I don't have any gift. And the servant said, well, here, I've got some money. And so they went ahead and approached him, and that started all these supernatural things into place. But that shows you that in this culture, you didn't approach a person of respect without some kind of a gift, some kind of an offering. And you can see this all the way through the Word of God. You know, just last fall, my wife and I went to China. And in China, did you know it was still the same way in that Eastern culture? We went into people's homes, and because I was somebody that these people respected, they had seen me on television and stuff, I would go into their home and they would bring me a gift. Nearly every single person that I had personal interaction with brought me some type of a gift, even if it was a small thing. It's just a way of showing honor and respect, and by doing this, it opens up doors for you. It brings you before great men. You can see this same thing. I'm not going to have time today, but I'll just mention this and I'll go into it in more detail tomorrow. But the Queen of Sheba, when she went to see Solomon, she approached him with a gift. And I mean, it was a huge gift, a very expensive gift. But she used that gift to open up a door for her. You know, Solomon, it said that the entire world, they sent people from all every kingdom in the world to come and sit at Solomon's feet and ask him questions and inquire of him because he was the wisest man on the face of the earth. If you were to come to the President of the United States, I guarantee you, you just couldn't walk up to the White House and knock on the door and get in. You would have to make an appointment. And I don't imagine they allow very many people to make an appointment, but those that they do accept, it probably has to be 6 months or a year out. I believe that Solomon was, his wisdom was sought after much, much more than the president of any nation today. And so I would suspect that it would have taken years, at least months or years, to be able to get to see Solomon. And yet the Queen of Sheba comes and just goes straight into Solomon. You know why? Because she had like 20 or 30 camels worth of gold and spices and gifts, and it opened up a door. It got her to the head of the line. And in a sense, I'll explain this more in detail on our program tomorrow, but in a sense, when you give a gift like that, you know what? It opens up the blessings of God to you. Now, I'm not saying that you bribe. That's the negative use of this. But I'm saying when you honor the Lord with your substance and when you show faith in Him, God will never, ever let you outgive Him. If you honor Him, and even though you need this money, but you are going to give it to God and you're going to honor Him and you become a partner and you start doing things, God is going to bless you back. You will never outgive Him. You will never be more faithful to Him than He is to you. And so you need to get rid of this concept of the bribe and think that you somehow or another are buying it. That's not it. God wants to bless you, but it's going to be proportional to whether or not you trust Him. You've got to believe and receive. It's not based on your holiness and goodness, but there does have to be this issue of trust and faith. And when you honor the Lord with your substance, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, then God is going to honor you. When you start putting Him first, God is going to put your needs first. God is going to supernaturally take care of you. And just like this verse says, a man's gift, your monetary gift, will make room for you and bring you before great men. Praise God. That's awesome. And you know what? You can do that. You could begin to start opening up a door in the spiritual realm. You could start a flow of the supernatural power and anointing of God by just honoring God and taking a gift and giving it and saying, Father, I thank You. I believe that this is going to release the blessing that You already have for me, that You already want to give me. I believe that as I trust You and open up my heart to You in faith, that this is going to start a supernatural flow of Your provision towards me. Boy, that's awesome. Amen. I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this tomorrow. I've got some important things to say. I'd like to encourage you to listen in and also listen to our announcer as he gives you information. Remember that we are coming to a close on this teaching of financial stewardship. And if you would like to receive these CDs or DVDs, you need to call or write today.
God's basically spoken to my heart in bringing me to CBC. And me getting a hold of the message of grace and God's unconditional love has totally changed my life, my family, how I view God, how I see God, and just give me an overall better perspective on life. And it's really produced freedom.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The sixth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you order. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching titled, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, free of charge.
Remember that our helpline is closed today because of the Memorial Day holiday, but you can go to our website and you can get all of our materials. They will have a special spot up showing what today's offer is. And also, you can take advantage of all of the free materials that we have there. There's a guest book that if you will sign that guest book, I'd love to read your comments. I read that just nearly every single day. There are hundreds of MP3 downloads, television programs, all kinds of things. It's just an awesome website. Plus, you can get the materials that we're offering on financial stewardship. The address is on your screen, and I encourage you to go to our website today because our helpline is closed.
We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. Our helpline is closed today to allow our employees to celebrate the holiday. But you can always visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer, you can order materials by writing us. Use the address on your screen.
I'd like to invite you to attend our first ever worship conference that we're holding here at Charis Bible College. Daniel Amstutz is our new director of our third year of school and worship, and he's put together a Better Way to Worship conference. It's going to be on June the 15th through the 17th. That's a Wednesday through Friday evening. You can come and experience live praise and worship. You're also going to hear instruction about it. I'll be teaching some about the importance of praise and worship. There is a registration. It's free. You can go to our website, awmi.net, or you could go directly to charisbiblecollege.org and click on our What's Happening, and you can sign up. There is all the information, registration, just a lot of great things. It's going to be a wonderful time, June the 15th through the 17th, right here in Colorado Springs.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.